Words for Life is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church here in Melbourne.
You thanks and pray now and ask that in all that takes place at this time of year, that the birth of your Son might be at its foundation. And that as we see the stars in the sky, we'd think of the star over the stable in Bethlehem, as we see little children, and so lovely to have them with us this morning. We'd remember that you came to us as a child, an infant, lowly, vulnerable. And that as we hear these words of joy and join in the celebrations around us this Christmas, that you'd make our hearts glad because you have come, as you promised, to deliver us, to save us, and to bring us safely into your kingdom. These are great things, and we give you great thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's really lovely to have a few moments to speak with you this morning, and I thought about what I should do, what would be the most important thing for me to do this Christmas, and I thought that I should dispel a few myths, clear up a few misconceptions, and for once just tell the truth. You ready? The first shocking revelation this morning is this. There's your first shocking revelation this morning. In the making of The Sound of Music, Julie Andrews had a stunt double. This has shocked me to the core. How could that possibly be true? I mean, what was dangerous about The Sound of Music? All she had to do was fall out of a boat and climb a tree. But look, there she is. It is true. Sorry to do that to you this Christmas. Julie Andrews had a stunt double. And while we're telling the truth, so does Wonder Woman and Spider-Man. I mean, I thought Spider-Man was pretty special, but he had a stunt double. This is really shaking things now. Indiana Jones had a stunt double. I never imagined that. Then there's more. Lots of actors and actresses have stunt doubles when they do risky or dangerous things. Look at these two guys. And again, yep, you might know who some of these people are. I have no idea who they are. And again, cowgirls with stunt doubles. Brad Pitt, yep, I can understand why he has a stunt double. Bruce Willis, oh well, I thought he was a hero, he's not. And probably most shocking of all, just amazing, isn't it? But the worst is yet to come, because much to my dismay, I discovered as I researched for this talk today that James Bond had a stunt double. Now, I don't know about you, but this has shaken me to the core. And then I thought about it a bit, and I thought, well, some people's, not just actors, but some people's real lives are so dangerous that they might need to have a full-time stunt double. So I found some of those for you. Yep. Obviously, this guy lives a pretty dangerous life. He has to have a whole nother one of himself just in case he gets into trouble. And even more. Yep. Looks like they live pretty dangerously, doesn't it? It's good to have a spare one of you around somewhere. And again, there, look, dangerous-looking guys who need to have a replacement just in case the worst things happen. And then I think some people live lives that are even more dangerous than that. And they have two stunt doubles on hand just in case things get really risky. And again, look at that, look. It's amazing they've made it that far, isn't it, with all the danger that they experience. Thanks, Rob, that's great. Now, you might know that character, a guy with a stunt double, Luke Skywalker, again. Yep, okay. Now, obviously, he lived a pretty dangerous life, and he needed a stunt double again. Okay, now, this stunt double goes back in history. That's an amazing likeness, isn't it? And again? Right, there you are. Possibly not quite an exact stunt double, but you get the idea. And one more. Amazing, isn't it? And that should be just about it. Oh, oops, and I have a stunt double. Not really. Thanks, Rob Davis. And that whole thinking about stunt doubles and the reason why Mary gave such effusive thanks when she was told that she was going to be the bearer of God's Son begin to work in my mind. Mary gives thanks after the angel announces her that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." So this little baby that she carries is going to be her Saviour. God is acting in her to save her, and of course not just Mary, but to save us all. God has done what he's promised to do. He's brought his purposes to pass, and it's all contained in Mary's womb. It's amazing. Why does she rejoice? And why does she set off such a chain reaction of rejoicing on Wednesday? I went to 3 carol services. I don't know how many carols you've sung this year. And I know Glenara had theirs and so on, school concerts and all the rest of it. So much rejoicing. There's decorations in the shops and in the streets and in our homes. There are choirs. There are gifts given. Even a public holiday has been proclaimed. All from this moment, this event, this initial celebration, Mary's experience of bearing a baby. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." And she talks about his mercy. There's something that he has done, which for her and for us, which has been merciful. "For his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." What is this mercy? Why does she celebrate? Because God has come to save us. And she talks about those who receive that. "He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones as he lifted up the humble and filled the hungry with good things. But the rich have been sent away empty." What does she mean? And it seems to me that God's profound act of bringing his son into the world is a bit like having a stunt double. That's the thrust of the Christmas story. I mean, God could come any way he wanted to come, but he chose to come as one of us. He's born a baby. He's born vulnerable. He's born into humble circumstances. He was raised like any other kid was raised, and I suppose he, you know, grazed his knees and had friends at school and climbed trees and did all the other things kids did. He certainly lived as a man. We have the last 3 years of his life very well recorded in our Bibles with the people he hung out with and stuff he did and so on. And we know that he died. And there, the tale, all the amazing thing that he's done in his life there, that the tale twists again because he doesn't stay dead. He is raised. And this humanity that God has, you know, captured in the person of his son and the journey that he's made through life, those 33 years, is somehow or other transformed. And our expectations, if you like, are turned on their head as he is a dead man is raised. And there is a promise proclaimed, a victory announced, that this life we live has been transformed, and our life too can be transformed by God's son. He stands in our place. He's taken on our flesh. He's raised up defeating death. And this opens the doorway for us to follow in his footsteps. What better kind of stunt double could you have than one who can defeat death? And even though there are many dangerous and terrifying moments in our lives, we've all encountered danger and fear, it seems to me as we think about the work that God has to do for us, the most risky, the most dangerous, the most terrifying time of all is that time when we stand before God at the end. And here's when Jesus really comes into his own. Because in all the ways we live and all the mistakes and failings and the things that happen to us and the things we do to others that are not as we would have them be, and we carry these things around with us through our life, in the end they'll all be opened up. The Bible says books will be opened and the substance of our lives will be laid open plain for all to see. I mean, I've been hauled before the school principal a few times, but that's nothing compared to that kind of a prospect. And here it is that Mary's son comes into his own, because as he's taken on our flesh and lived life and so on and died and been raised again, so at this point he stands in for us, our stunt double. And we are called, each one before God's throne, to give account of the way we've lived. And as we do so, Jesus takes our place. It's as though he stands between us and God, and we kind of disappear into his shadow. And when we are called forward, Jesus stands up and says, "This one is mine." Of all the places in your life where you've needed God's help, there is no place where you need his help as clearly as then. And here it is that he's coming in human form, reaches its fullness, its conclusion, it kind of maxes out because he stands in our place and says, "This one is mine." If we identify ourselves with Jesus now and rejoice in his coming now, as Mary did, here is the promise that he will identify with us then. We know this is true because I have a cross behind me, and it is on the cross that Jesus paid the price for all that humanity has done that puts it at odds with God. Here is our peace. It was his death, but it is our peace, because as he rose, then, in a sense, God's willingness to accept humanity, willingness to forgive, willingness to receive, willingness to embrace is announced. For Jesus takes his flesh with him into glory, where he is now seated at the Father's right hand. If you like it, as we look at the cross, the verdict is already pronounced. As he is raised, the verdict is already pronounced. The penalty for sin is paid. We can be set free. We cannot defend ourselves. We can hardly live our lives the way we want to live them. It's so complicated and difficult. But at the end, we'll be covered over because Jesus took on flesh and died in our place and was raised again and now is seated at God's right hand in glory. And so as Mary sings, realizing that God has come to that time when he will fulfill his promise to his people, we rejoice also because we have a Savior and his name is Jesus. But it's not just that the good work that God has done for us in his Son, you know, is relevant then, because it has a great application now. The moment we believe, God gets to work in our lives. And it's there that I think the whole idea of having a stunt double takes its place. We have an emergency stand-in. Have you ever prayed and had God respond to that prayer? Have you ever been in trial or difficulty and cried out to him and been brought through? I mean, the fact that you're here indicates that that's probably true. When you are in trouble at work or at school, he will be with you and he will give you the strength, perhaps the strength to be truthful, perhaps the strength to stand by your responsibilities, to maintain your integrity, perhaps to keep on hoping. For he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." This new life that we will have in the end with God begins to have its effect on us now as Jesus stands beside us, for us. When we're sick and suffering, perhaps from the disappointments of life, again, here is the promise that I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And when we let ourselves and others down, will Jesus be there with us, for us? Yes, he will. When those you love are relying on you to help them and you don't know what to do, will Jesus be there with you? Yes, he will. When we are lonely and exhausted and feeling powerless, will Jesus be with us then? Yes, he will. It seems from Mary's song and from the experience of Christian people for 2,000 years now that when we know our need, God is so ready to respond. Jesus, our stunt double, is there, ready to get involved, ready to save us, not always from the consequences. That isn't always what he does, but he does preserve us for the future and he does lead us into a better way. And above all, I think, the times when we see that Jesus is close to us and ready to be with us and to help us are those spaces in our lives when we set our mind to help others. I think that's particularly noticeable. When we set ourselves and set our purpose to benefit or to bless or to strengthen or to help or to uphold others, it seems there that Jesus is particularly anxious, particularly present to get involved. And so here, in this significant way, God breaks into our human experience. Friends, he has acted in the past, He does act in our present, and we have great hope for the future. And in this way, when we come to Christmas, we can rejoice with Mary, for there's so much to be thankful for. Words for